right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, you're on to the public square. And we have a great show this evening. And just before we get into the big discussion, which I told you about, that we'll be having a look at INEC's list of those who will be taking part in the general elections, the governorship and state assembly on the 11th of March next year, like we had promised to. The same we did with the presidential and the National Assembly election. Then we'll have a go at that. But before we do that, we look at again, just to remind you that the president, for the last time, appeared before joint sitting of the National Assembly to present his budget. Well, he may have an opportunity again before he ends his tenure, before the 29th of May. But at least he's had the opportunity for his budget, the last budget, at 20.51 trillion naira. And things to know with the budget, $70 per barrel, daily production estimate 1.69 million barrels. Never mind the numbers of barrels which are either shot in or missing. At some point, we went under 1 million barrels per day. But here, the government says 1.69 million barrels. ₦435.57 to the dollar is the projected exchange rate, even though we know that in the parallel market, it's way higher. Projected GDP growth rate, 3.75%. 17.16% inflation rate. Current inflation rate stands at over 20%. So quite some interesting projections here that you should think about. Debt servicing, 6.31 trillion naira, and it goes on and on. We have deficit at 11 trillion naira. It's pretty high. And it goes down and down, and at some point we're going to have the opportunity to look at this in detail. Oil revenue is projected at 1.92 trillion naira. Non-oil revenue 2.43 trillion naira. Then we also have independent revenue at 2.2 trillion naira. So when you add all of that up and then you subtract from 20 trillion naira, then you can make up the deficit and ask where that money will come from, which basically will come from borrowing. They've already said 8.2 trillion naira will be sought through borrowing, having passed the MTF as well as the FSP, the National Assembly, did before today's presentation. Rotimi Sankore has joined in already. Rotimi, good afternoon.
Yes, afternoon, Ahohol. Thanks for the great introduction on the budget. I mean, it's the president's last budget. And already controversy is following it. It's the budget with the biggest deficits, a lot of borrowing. They've kicked the gbese down the line for the youth to carry on their heads. The president also announced that the petrol subsidy will go in June after he has handed over. Yes, left the problem for whoever comes in, whether from his party or not, which means that there is going to be serious budgetary crisis next year. Because although there is general agreement, including by the current government, they campaigned on the platform that the subsidy is fraudulent. And most people agree that you can't have a country with refinery, the refinery is not working, and then you export oil and then import petroleum, thereby exporting jobs to other countries. And I mean, it's an absurdity. You have oil, but you import refined petrol.
And when the petrol comes in, you fix the price.
You know, and then sometimes there is fuel, sometimes there is no fuel. Then there is argument between customs, NNPC, and the government as to how much the actual fuel consumption is. So you know, if he then says that, you know, just before they leave office, which means with a plan that is not clear, they will just pull out the subsidy without the palliative that they've been promising for 7 years. So this palliative are supposed to cover transport, electricity, I mean, all the things really that soak up, you know, people's resources, because if fuel price doubles, diesel price jumps to 2,000 per liter and so forth.
Right.
I mean, if there is no light, then businesses will collapse. The transport fare will go up, you know, and people won't know how to cope. So, I mean, this budget is a budget that is really up in the air. You know, it's really up in the air, because ordinary people are in for a serious shock. You know, once the budget is approved and then they remove the subsidy, you know, without any clear palliative, whoever becomes president next year is going to run into a budget crisis to start with. So I think that's the big highlights of this budget. And I mean, to make matters worse, NNPC just revealed yesterday that there has been a secret pipeline for 9 years through which millions of barrels of oil have been stolen. You and I have talked about this thing before, that you, if you are a listener, we are not encouraging you, but you just imagine trying to go into a supermarket to steal 3 or 4 cans of milk and see what will happen. You know, I mean, so I mean, imagine a situation where tens of thousands of barrels of oil disappear every day, and this goes into ships. It's not as if they brought a canoe. Ship connecting to the pipeline. So yesterday, I mean, I was reading one mischievous comment. The person said they pretended to discover the pipeline. And I mean, the point being, how can they not know?
And we've had a second look.
Secret pipeline for 9 years.
And we've had a second. We had a second look at that pipeline, and it's not a hurriedly done job.
Listen. No, the pipeline has to be connected to the system now. Yeah, you know.
So professionally done job. So it's not.
I mean, do you know how long it takes to construct a pipeline?
Yes, and you'd have to shut down the flow for you to even have that.
Yes, now you bring engineers, you bring through different communities through. So I mean, that's why. Even though I said, one commentator said they pretended to find the pipe, the illegal pipeline. That how could they not have known it was there? You know? So, I mean, all these things combine, I mean, to make that 2023 budget really a budget of crisis. You know, set aside for a moment what the president called it, it is going to be a budget of crisis. You know, we'll do the budget breakdown in the coming weeks when all the details are out and see what was omitted. Don't forget that last year, the federal government omitted family planning from the budget, and the country has a population crisis. So who knows what else could have been omitted, really. So I think those are the general highlight and comment. I mean, it's too big an issue not to have mentioned, you know, on the day it happened, even though the government has not given us the details yet, but it's too big an issue to have ignored, you know, to be quite frank. So we can park that there for a moment and go back to the governorship and House of Assembly list, which has been released by INEC.
Absolutely. We just have 140 days now to the general elections. That's for presidential and national assembly. And by about, you add 2 weeks to that day, and you have for the governorship and state assembly on the 11th of March next year. Very important road to be governorship and state assembly elections.
Yes. I mean, for those who keep concentrating on the presidency, sorry for them. Because while the presidency is the big office, I mean, it's an executive presidency in Nigeria, is one of the shortcomings of the current constitution, if you ask me. And, you know, that position of president defines a lot of things. I mean, the federal budget we are talking about today, the leadership on a lot of things. There are a lot of things which should not be left to the presidency or the federal level. For instance, electricity. I mean, there is almost all the federal countries in the world, if I'm not almost, all the federal countries in the world that have reasonably developed economy, none of them has one national grid. The federal government in those countries does not hold on to the power generation or distribution. So there is more input into it. I mean, for instance, Lagos alone should have 20,000 megawatts, yet the entire country has 5,000. And the grid has collapsed several times. You know, so all those kind of things, you know, when the presidency or the office of president and federal government holds on to it, it distorts the economy. But aside from things like that, the things causing the main crisis in the country, like insecurity, all these things are coming from the state level. For instance, the 20 million children out of school announced in the new UNESCO estimates in September. The primary and secondary school crisis is coming from the state level. So, you know, it is important to pay attention to the governorship and House of Assembly offices, because if the governors are not paying attention to primary and secondary school, and they are putting all the money in security votes, and nobody knows what that security vote is comprised of, by the time they accumulate these 20 million children out of school, if just 10%,
right,
or just 5% of those children become bandits and extremists over the next 10 years, don't forget we are talking of children 6 to 16 years old. By the time they start turning to 17 to 27 years old, over the next decade coming, the bandits and extremists will be able to draw a lot of recruits from them. And just 5% of that number is 1 million. Yet, the current government is saying that the insecurity will end by Christmas. And the insecurity we are facing now is based on 13 million children out of school, of which some of them grew to be recruited by bandits and extremists. 13 million, now is 20 million. And that is coming from the states. Some states more than others. So the governorship election is not just a question of who control which state, who control which resources. It's really, it's core to the existence of Nigeria. Because in the states that have more out-of-school children, proportional to their population, those states are failing. Yobe, Borno, Zamfara, Katsina. And then they are sucking in the federal resources, buying Tucano jets, helicopter gunship, deploying military resources. And if you leave them unchecked, they spread. All the 19 northern states can fall. And if they fall, they take the country down with it. That's coming from the governorship level. So the governors over the last 20 years who have not done anything are part, you know, are a big part of the insecurity crisis. So if people keep thinking that this is a problem for the president to solve, but they are not paying attention to the governorship issues or the House of Assembly that are rubber stamp and stamp their policy and budget, it's really a big mistake. I mean, the other thing, of course, is, are all the parties contesting at the state governorship level? Unfortunately, no. So the issue of diversity, the issue of possibility for change at many of the state levels, I mean, just does not exist for now. So, I mean, when INEC announced, you know, the governorship list, and there was no fanfare, people were not paying attention. Mm. I mean, I was really shocked as to, what's really happening here? Mm. Now, just to mention, to summarize, there are 28 states in which there will be governorship election. Mm. Now, in those 28 states, I mean, this is a very funny figure. There are 419 candidates.
I was waiting for that.
Yes. Yes. For the 28 states, there are 419 candidates vying for governor. Mm. 419.
All right, Rotimi, let's go.
Is it symbolic? Is it hilarious?
Let's go on a break, Rotimi.
Okay.
So then we'll come back with the continue. So 99.3 Nigeria Info, it's Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, you're back to The Public Square on your number one talk news and sports station. And Rotimi Sankore was on the road before we went on that break. So, Rotimi, can we continue over the governorship and state assembly elections list?
Yes, I was making the very interesting point that of the, there are 28 states
right
out of 36 where elections we hold after the presidential elections. And that for those 28 states, there are 419 candidates. And to put it simply, that is 419. And that it's a very interesting number to note. I don't know whether it symbolically suggests that we have 419 governors, but there you are.
Okay.
I mean, it's INEC that gave us the number, not you or I.
Mm.
Now, we don't have enough time to go through all the states, but we can mention two things and then start looking at Lagos before the commercial break, which comes up in about 10 minutes.
Right.
Now, in Lagos, which is the main catchment area, I mean, that's 99.3 covers.
Mm.
It's interesting to note that 16 parties are vying, not 18. Now, this is a pattern that is repeated through many of the states.
Mm.
In many of the states, there are 13 parties, 14 parties, 15 parties vying, which means that not all the parties have capacity to vie in all the states. So it reduces the potency of the democracy if a few parties are going to dominate the governorship elections. But maybe some of the parties will benefit from the presidential role, because if a third party candidate, say like Labour Party, you know, which is on the rise now, does surprisingly well in the presidential elections, either wins it or forces a runoff between Labour and another party, it means that the governorship candidates could get a fillip from that momentum for the next election. That's why some people argue that all the elections should be done on the same day, so that there is no, our presidency is going this way, let's go the other way, or let's go with presidency.
Mm.
So that's something to note. But in Lagos, if we can quickly go through the 16 candidates,
all right, let's do it
the parties that are running in Lagos. Party A, again, as we say, if you don't know who Party A is, you are not interested in the elections.
Uh-huh.
You know, has Dixon Hakim,
okay,
Olaogun running as their governorship candidate, and the deputy governorship candidate is Caroline Emieme. By Nigerian standards, she's 44, so she's young. AA has Balogun Tokpe Abdul Razak running. He is 40. His candidate is his running mate, who is female, is even younger, 35. Salako Mautin. AAC has young candidates, Olayiwola, Olaide, male. Their deputy, his running mate is Eze Segun. That's an interesting combination in Lagos, Eze Segun, as a deputy governorship candidate. Can that attract votes based on ethnicity, not policy, who knows? ADC has Dohati Adesina running, mid-50s. Deputy candidate Giwa Amurosmeri, with similar age range. ADP Bamidele Ishola, 62, male. Deputy governorship running mate Adewusi Omobola, female, 57. APC, the ruling party, has Babajide Sanwo-Olu. If you don't know him and you are living in Lagos, sorry for you. he's 57 male. His running mate, Hamzat Obafemi, same age, 57 male. APM, one of the two parties with a female governorship candidate. Kupoli Ifumilayo, 51, female. Well done to her for getting the ticket. Her deputy running mate is male. Adepoju Timothy, he's 39, so young age range. Because of the median age of Nigeria, we have to mention these things. APP, Adeyemi Abiola Rosemary, the second party with a female governorship candidate, also youngish by Nigerian standard, 44. Her running mate, Adeyemi Opeyemi, is even younger, 35, male. BP governorship candidate, Oluwa Wasu, male, 56. Deputy Balogun Rotimi, 55, male. Labour Party, Rhodes Vivo Gbadebo Patrick, a bit known because he ran for Senate the other time on another party. He's 39, male.
Right.
His running mate, female, Oyefusi Adetola. This is an interesting dynamic. She is about 15 years older than him. NMPP, Lagos, Jim Kamal Olalekan, male, 64. Deputy, female, Abiola Okoya. NROM, Braithwaite Ishola, male, 64. Deputy Dabri Oluwatoyin, 52, female. PDP, Adediran Aziz Olajide, better known by his nickname, he is 44. And his deputy, Akindele Olufunke, also better known by her nickname or stage name, both of them are 44. As we had cause to mention one other time, if you vote for her, it's not for her TV character you are voting. You are voting for, for a real person.
A real person.
SDP governorship, Uthman Taufik, 60, male. Deputy Animashan Abeni, female. YPP Ajayi Adebayo, 55, male. Deputy, male also, Shodeko Temitayo. And then lastly, the ZLP. ZLP is also running two male candidates. Adenikwebi Adekunle and Kazim Adekoyejo. The candidate himself is 43, his deputy 54. So Lagos, 16 parties out of 18.
Right.
After the break, we will post the link to the governorship list.
Right.
So please look out for it on at Public Square NG on Twitter, at Rotimi Sankore on Twitter, and at Ahoho Obo. Twitter, which will be posted during the long break. So by before 5 o'clock, it will be up.
Right.
So I guess it's almost time for the commercial break.
Right, we're going to go on a break. Ruthie will rejoin us right after this. We're going to switch our gears towards UK Boarding School Week Exhibition. And we already have members of that crew in here already. And in a short while, we'll start that conversation on all you need to know. So go get all of the stuff you need. You get the jotter. And if you have attentive memory, you can then remember everything. But I'm sure they have everything out there for you, including the social media links. On 99.3 Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Sit down to talk about issues. We always run away from that. Don't let anybody who is in any business with you, don't let him second guess you.
Our governors are not thinking. We don't even have local government chairmen, so not to talk of the ones that would think. You have lawmakers who are more interested in what they would get from performing oversight functions than actually making law and insisting that these laws will be obeyed.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
At 9.3 Nigeria Info back, and we're talking about overseas education. The United Kingdom is where the discussion is this evening, and I have lovely representatives of this. Some have been to the Federal Capital Territory and back. I'm sure they can compare the energy in Abuja and Lagos and see that it's a very unfavorable comparison. Great to have you join us this evening, Sarah Travis, Fiona Garden, as well as Betty Dagestan. Let's see if we can get, if I can get it right, every one of them in the studio this evening, that I did call them out appropriately. Fiona Gordon, Director of Admissions, Millfield Prep School. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, you have to be close to the mic. It's a radio experience, you know, so I know if it's TV, you can be anywhere. But thank you very much, Fiona Gordon, for joining us. Betty Dagestan, thank you very much also.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, Betty's Director of Global Engagement, Padworth College. Thank you very much. Sarah Travis, thank you very much for joining us.
No, it's a pleasure to be here.
And she's Senior Associate Director, Student Recruitment at TASIS England.
That's right.
All right. Who's been to Abuja? Who's not been to Abuja?
I've been to Abuja.
Not this trip, the previous trip.
So who wins, Lagos or Abuja for you?
Lagos.
Has to be. I mean, by distance, I mean, it's a very unfair comparison. But you're here for something very important, and we'll get straight into it, which is for the UK Boarding School Week. And it's already before us, I understand, happening tomorrow. But first and foremost, let's understand what sort of environment that children here are looking forward to if they do make it successfully to go into a college in the United Kingdom. Who will bell the cat?
I can start.
All right.
So Padworth College. So I'm Betty Dagestan. And so Padworth College is an international boarding school that's based in the UK. And we have a large Nigerian community at Padworth College. And one of the things that's important for our Nigerian students is a home away from home experience. So the pastoral care, the support, as well as the academic support is key. And I think one of the greatest assets of UK boarding schools is everything that they do provide for Nigerian students. And I know that both Sarah from TASIS and Fiona at Millfield Prep also have a few Nigerian students who will be able to contribute to this this conversation here now as well, especially as to how sort of complex Nigerian students can be in the nicest possible of ways. Would you agree, ladies?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, TASIS England, we've got 64 different nationalities in total.
That's the United Nations.
It is the United Nations. Yeah, we like to think we're a small United Nations. But it's fantastic having that diversity. And some of our students are obviously from Nigeria, both Lagos and Abuja. And they really do add something special to the school. Not only are they strong academically, but they get involved in the extracurricular activities as well, whether that be sport, art, music. They're always very active in our clubs, Model United Nations, Duke of Edinburgh. So it's really fantastic to have them on campus.
And I would just like to add that we also have a really strong alumni in Nigeria. So we've been accepting students from Nigeria and 70 different countries from around the world since our inception in 1935. And actually there's an amazing opportunity for some of the younger Nigerian students to come to the UK, to Millfield, but also to other schools, and really then come back to Nigeria to work or work around the world and really make use of that alumni network. There's lots of experts working in many fields of industry, and it's an invaluable part of their education being immersed in a school that has lots of different alumni around the world.
Right. I mean, when you talk about this sort of the goals and the objectives, you know, it's great to hear you talk about in different points, because people will just think that you're just here for the recruitment, but it appears that there's a lot more to it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about the recruitment. It's about building relationships and partnerships in sort of Lagos and Abuja and other parts of West Africa as well. So we try to do a lot of work with various schools here to see how we can work together. So that might be student projects, it might be exchanges, etc. But all of the schools that are involved in the fair tomorrow at the Wheat Baker between 11 and 4 will very much be looking to build long-term relationships with schools and the families and the people of Nigeria.
Right. Wheat Baker Ikoyi, not too far from here. I mean, you could ride a bicycle there.
You could, yeah.
It's just a one-day event, and is it open to everyone to attend?
Yes, you can register at Mark Brooks Education, the website, and there's various ways you can register there. But yes, it's open to everyone, like I say, at the Wheat Baker between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. tomorrow.
And just to add, I think it's important to note that it is open to everyone. I think we very much enjoy meeting different students, different families as well, and we're all, you know, there's quite a lot of schools, boarding schools that are there, and we're here for those questions. So you know, we'd invite everybody to come and see us tomorrow. So at the Wheat Baker.
And also to add to that, it's never too early to start thinking about a UK education. So we've met some pupils today, some young children, little ones, age 7, 8. Most of the children might come when they're a little bit older to the UK, but never too early to start thinking and planning for that future in the UK.
But what will they be required to come with? Because I'm sure they're not just going to stroll in there, you know, and say, I'm interested in the UK education system.
Well, they must come with a big smile first.
A big smile and open mind.
Lots of energy.
Yes.
And a desire and an ambition to succeed in education.
But also, I think it's important that they come with their questions.
Good.
Because we'll be looking at them to see whether they might be suitable for our particular schools. But it's important that they think that we're a suitable fit for them as well. So come with all the questions that you have. It's important that you find the right school for you. So ask as many questions as you want to, whether that's to do with the curriculum or the extracurricular activities or the pastoral care, anything at all. Come with your questions. We're happy to answer them all.
All right. I'm sure you go through the details again, but because I'm wondering, I'm looking at the time now, whether there'll be enough time for them to rush online and make their registration.
Absolutely.
Do you give opportunity for people to have to go in, even though they don't register?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
They can register on the day, yes. Just come along to the Wheat Baker. They can register before they come in to see us. That's absolutely fine.
Right. I'm talking about, you know, it's a global village we're in now, but people do get into places, new places, and they get homesick.
Yeah.
I mean, even in adult age, I mean, I get homesick at times, you know.
Yeah,
not at home. So I could imagine for children who are taken away from, you know, Nigeria and then set into a new community. What usually happens the day breaking very easily?
I think we've got to be realistic, and especially some of the younger children, they will be a little bit homesick in the first few weeks. But all the schools that are here at the Wheat Baker tomorrow are all very, very busy schools, so we keep the children really engaged. The schools have Saturday morning lessons mostly, activities in the afternoons, and it's such an thrilling environment to be part of that they soon find that they don't have time to be phoning home.
Right.
And often the parents contact the teachers and say, is my child all right? Because they haven't had a chance to phone home. So the pastoral teams work really hard at the start of term to ensure that all the children are really engaged and not getting too homesick.
All right, so the process begins from Wheat Baker, and then afterwards they get to know whether they're successful or not. But we want them back also too.
Yeah.
What do you do in terms of making sure that, you know, even though they go, the ones who want to come back can contribute?
So we make sure that they have the skill set that is needed in their particular country. So the industry sectors that are growing, we make sure that our students are set up to be sort of successful and productive in those sectors. But we give them the opportunity to go to universities across the world, so they get sort of a global experience as well before they bring all that experience and new knowledge and skills back to their home country of Nigeria.
All right. Anything you want to add again? Fiona, as well as Sarah. I hope I'm looking at the right person.
I'm Sarah.
I need what happened.
I think the main thing here is, you know, the UK boarding schools are the best in the world. I think we can all agree to that. And so the opportunity tomorrow is for families, students to come and see some of the best boarding schools in the UK to get their guidance, to get their knowledge, to ask their questions, as Sarah has said. You know, we are a friendly bunch. We're here to support the transition from Nigeria to the UK. And I think we do that very successfully as a team.
And the friendly bunch you will see tomorrow at the Whitbaker. It's just a day-long event, and you'll get to see Betty Dagestan, Director of Global Engagement, Padworth College, Fiona Gordon, Director of Admissions, Millfield Prep School, as well as Sarah Travis, Senior Associate Director of Student Recruitment, Tarsus England. I got it very well this time around.
You did. Thank you.
Well done.
All right. We're going on a quick break. When we come back, Public Square will continue.
Tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this man, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Right, 99.3 Nigeria Info, and the Public Square continues. And we have been doing an analysis and review of the list put out by INEC for those who are qualified to contest in next year's governorship as well as state assembly polls. 28 states in all. And just as Rotimi said, the key thing is that most of the parties will be contesting at least for the governorship, but not all of them have candidates for the governorship as well as for the state assembly polls. So, Rotimi, we're back, and we can continue to look at the big talking points ahead of the governorship and state assembly polls.
Yes, I mean, the first thing to say is that, as promised, we have now posted the list where we are going through, that is the INEC official list,
right,
of governorship candidates, deputy, House of Assembly for all the 28 states where elections are on cycle. So if you'd like to see the list for yourself, I mean, we went through the Lagos state list of the 16 parties and their candidates. If you'd like to go through that in more detail, or you'd like to look at the candidates for the other states, you can now go to @publicsquareng on Twitter, @publicsquareng. We've posted it. You can also go to @rotimisankore on Twitter, where I have retweeted it. I believe that Ahoho will do the same at Ahohoobo. And at Nigeria Info FM. So you will have all the time to look at the list.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
So we finished looking at the list for the Lagos candidates. I don't think we will have time to look at the lists for the other 27 states. It may not be necessary to do so, since we have posted already. So maybe we can engage the audience through the phone lines, Twitter, WhatsApp, hear what you think about, one, the significance of the governorship elections and the House of Assembly elections.
Right.
Or about the numbers of candidates running, or without engaging in overly partisan campaigning for your party, if you have any comments on the candidates.
All right, so the number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. Then the female-only line again is 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. Then on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening.
Shaku Marco.
Hey, Makushi. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo.
Aha, Pastor Ladipo. We've got you. Go ahead.
Good evening, Roti Miss Ankore.
Good evening,
now,
Pastor.
Now, my take today is concerning the people that are contesting. I wish we can consolidate the aspirants, all the candidates. I wish we can consolidate them and look for the best amongst us. The person that have the right program that can also implement the right program, that has the political will, because it is not about all the crowds that are trying to contest. It is about their program, what they have intention to do. So my take is, if it be possible to consolidate all the aspirants and they can face these monsters of this so-called big political party for once and defeat them. Look at the presidency now, those that are contesting for the presidential. If truly indeed these two parties have not performed to our standard, what stops every other party to come together and say, no, let's for once take power that belongs to the people and give it back to the people through this particular person. And if the person too fumble, the next election, the person is also voted out.
Okay.
That will help us.
Okay, Pastor Ladipo.
Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
Thank you for your comment. Hello and good evening.
Very good to you. How good? How are you today?
I'm very well. And
my name is Prince Wise, calling you from Amuodofin.
Prince
Wise. Mr. Ankaro, good evening to you.
Good evening.
My question goes this way. I want to appeal to Mr. Rotimi.
Right.
For number one to number three, two, three, four, throners. Did they have part in governorship in the 36 states? Did they all of them, did they have a representative Senate in the 36 states of the Federation? Please, I want you to tell me. Because why I'm asking this question is this. If we present a match today, if the whole don't have the representative, the Senate, they may not allow you to perform. They will take you hostage. I can remember the NPN and the PRP in Kaduna, in the 80s, 1979, where NPN dominated the House, and the man that won the election have no legislators backing him. They imprisoned the man. When the man have intention to do something good, they don't allow him to do. If this may happen for a present come 2023, if you don't have legislator to back your good manifesto, your good thing you want to do for Nigeria, That's why I told this question to Mr. Sankaro.
All right.
Listen to you.
All right, thank you very much, Prince Wise. I think he's referring to Balarabe Musa, governor of Kaduna State, I think Second Republic. But we'll get to that, but let's take in some more calls.
Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Hello, Marco.
Hey, Marco Shi.
I bless you and I bless Mr. Professor Sankore. The man that called himself Prince Wise, shout out to you. I want to assure him that Kaduna is going to be created again next year. What he said, they are marching, don't worry. But Lizao and Sankore, as you are talking, please tell Anek to shine their eyes for Corona Collection Center. My own is Collection Center. Allow our vote to count. I have been voting since 1999, the last 3 years. I will continue to vote until I die. Next year, my vote must count. My vote must count to Professor Sankore. My vote was count. That's what you've been saying. Tell Anek now.
All right. Thank you very much, Comrade Ikechukwu. Please move away from the device, very Comrade Koboko. Hello, and good evening.
Mr. Kore, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I greet you. This is Godwin from Ogun State.
All right, Godwin, please go ahead.
I want to tell you to tell Prince Wise, I support the last caller to tell Prince Wise to shut up.
Hold on, he didn't say. He told, and please, I'm going to have to disconnect you because you cannot come on air and insult anyone. You go ahead and make your comments. I mean, it's the beauty of democracy is this: everyone has the opportunity to voice his or her own opinion. So, rightfully, I cut you off. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Sorry about that, but move away quickly from the device. Hello, and good evening.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good evening. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Bakari Sharif.
All right, Bakari, go ahead very quickly.
Sir, my own comment is this. It's not about all these political people. But what I'm saying now is that, what about Nigerian police? Because INEC is talking since all this day, Nigerian police is the one of the worst people that are going to destroy this thing for them. Not be to take a PTC or something. You should talk about that one. That issue is very, very important. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your thoughts and concerns. Hello. All right. We'll get back to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Yes, my name is Ifoma Okolie. I'm coming from Ikorodu. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
All right, Ifoma, please go ahead.
About the man you cut off, I thought you would have told him that he didn't know what he was saying. Koboko never told Prince Wyatt to shut up. He said, shout out.
Exactly, and he just decided
he said,
because he had
something out. To Prince Wyatt. In other words, he concurred with what Prince Wyatt said.
Yeah.
But this man, I don't know whether he just woke up from sleep and want to come and cause confusion there. Please correct him.
Yeah,
tell him that he's just trying to sow a seed of discord between these two gentlemen.
Exactly.
You should listen very well next time.
All right.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Great. And which is the point I made. He never said so. He just already had something at the back of his mind. But let's not derail the conversation and get back very quickly to discussions this evening on Public Square. Hello and good evening. All right, sorry about that. Please do call back. Hello and good evening. All right, okay. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us.
Yeah, my name is Val. I'm calling from First Tax.
All right, Val, please go ahead very quickly.
I would like to throw the line of the first caller because I feel the parties are a bit too much for me. Oh. I think it's like them coming together, maybe with the bulk of them coming together.
Wait, say that again, Val. You think 18 is too much? You know,
I think it's too much.
Last election, there were 75.
I know, but I still feel it is too much because if you look at it, only three or four parties are like impact parties. So if others can like come together, form a block with one or two parties and all that, then maybe if you succeed at the end of the day, commissioner positions or certain positions, you lobby for them and all that, they can agree and wrestle this power from the two major political parties. Because I feel for them to actually compete, you need to form a block. That's how I see it.
All right. Thank you very much, Val. Val wants an amalgamation of forces. Right. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us, Public Square. Hello.
My name is Nnamdi. I'm calling from Orchard Road.
All right, Nnamdi, go ahead.
I would like IDEC to actually do the right thing, make the election free and fair. But there is something from the in-house news I'm getting. There's what we call systemic rigging. There are some polling units now being created for some parties. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Like my place, where I live, it used to be two polling units. Before now, they've created additional five units. And now they took them to Palace compound, where some people will not be able to have access to ground.
Help us understand, because I know when INEC was explaining the addition of more polling units, the argument was that some polling units had too many people in them, and so they had to space so that everyone can vote quickly enough. So the two polling units in your experience in previous elections, were they ever overcrowded?
No. It was, this place is kind of like, let me say, more educated, more enlightened people, and people just come, have nice time. Even though if there's crowd, there's past elections, it used to be very peaceful. But now they're taking them like down to Koplak, very far, where all these miscreants and all these ballets of residents. I don't think I, for one, I'll be able to go there and cast my vote.
Oh, you're affected too?
Yeah, definitely I'm affected. I'll not be able to go there to cast my vote if there's any riots or any issue coming up. Because they know definitely that some people here don't vote for them. Definitely.
All right. Thank you very much, and I do hope on election day you will go, even if your unit has moved. All right, I know some trying to call through Skype, but we cannot take any calls on Skype, so maybe that's Femi. I'm sorry, I can't take your call. You'll have to go on WhatsApp instead, because we have the Skype engaged presently, so please bear with me. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us on Public Square. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is Mr. Ozo. I'm calling from Olodia, Papa.
All right, Mr. Ozo, go ahead.
Okay. This is consistent. My own opinion, I think the best candidate should win this election. We don't mind where the person comes from. Exactly, be the best candidate that will carry this country forward, move the country forward. That's my own contribution.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Ozo. In case you just joined us on Public Square this evening, Rotimi Sankore is up, and we have talked about the INEC list of candidates for the governorship and the state assembly, which happens on the 11th of March next year. That's 2 weeks after the presidential and national assembly elections happen in 28 states. You will have people vote and decide who will be governors and who will occupy parliament for those states also too. And on the other states also too, where they have off-cycle governorship election, they will have their own state assembly elections happen. So state assembly elections will happen in all the states, 36 states of the country. And we're asking questions on how it affects you and what you think about this. We focused a lot on the presidential election, but today we're focusing on the governorship and state assembly elections. On WhatsApp, Tony from Birmingham in Alabama says, now, good afternoon, my candid advice to all well-meaning Nigerians is to make presidential and wise decisions come, prudential rather, and wise decisions come 2023 for the sake of our children and children's children. Thanks and have a nice weekend. Thank you very much, too. This is Femi. All right. This is Femi from, I see that you write a message, writing us from Dallas, Texas. You say, please, is there any attempt to involve the head of National Road Transport Workers, especially in Lagos State, in the Peace Pact? great point you make, because most of the time they are the ones involved in political thuggery by threatening voters in some polling units. As a matter of fact, state governors should be held responsible if there is any violence initiated by this group. Femi, Dallas, Texas. All right, Ruth, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay. I think we can check on Twitter too, and maybe we have messages there before we get back to the phone lines. All right, while we're trying to find out the ones on Twitter, let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Aha, great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
This is Joy calling.
All right, Joy, from Ikorodu.
About National Assembly.
Good.
Can they reduce those people? They are too much. And the money they are taking from this country is too much. Again, when I discuss with some Nigerians, I don't think they are serious at all. They don't even know what they want. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Joy. She didn't go further to explain what she means by unseriousness. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for joining us on the public square. What's your name?
My name is Henry. I'm calling from Sulawesi.
All right, Henry, please go on.
Yes. What the other caller said about the INEC taking the polling booth to chiefs, obas, and ballots, please, to go and I experienced it in 2015. We're not allowed to vote. They took the thing to one of the chief's house and allowed themselves to be voting, not even many people, one person, to vote, all the, to vote, to do all the printing, all the thumbprinting, one person. So that is what
Help me explain clearly. Your polling unit, you say, was in the
palace. I saw one polling unit I'm supposed to vote. I'm not going to mention the name.
Good.
They did not allow anybody to enter. Just one man that go in and start thumbprinting.
No, help us understand this clearly. Your polling unit was in the palace of an Oba. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. They took the polling unit to balance place. And the area body, even my in-law wanted to go and vote. Old man of 70-something years, they think you should pay 1,000 if you want to go in. I said,
Have you checked where your polling unit falls in this election yet?
Well, this one now.
Yes, this next election.
I know my polling unit, but I don't think
Is it still the same place or it's a different place now?
Let's see if different is going to happen.
I was asking you a question. Listen very carefully. I said, is it the same place you voted last election that you're going to vote in this election?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't move.
Okay. All right. Well, even though I wish you could give us the location, at least I can we can check it out also too. You know, a polling unit in an Oba's palace. That's All right, Ruth, I think we can take one more call and then we can go on the break.
Yes.
Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us very quickly.
Good evening, Jude, calling from Badagry Expressway.
All right, Jude, let's do this.
Yeah, you know, what I want to say, I think by now, every serious candidate must have made up his or her mind whom to vote. Like somebody always taking us back to 1973. If I'm right, between 73 to now is 49 years. So somebody cannot be telling us that what happened in 1973 will repeat itself in this 2022 century. I don't think that is right. So our problem now is.
Well, I think you meant 1983.
Even at that, you can't tell me that what happened in 1983 will repeat this time around. Because you agree with me that most people are political aware compared to 1983. So they can't tell us that maybe you don't belong to all the big weight. If you will not perform, it's not that, I don't think it's right. So our problem now is I need to do a neat job and throw a neat job. Then media to do any job or security agency, because here in Lagos, my brother, they toss, they are on top of their gear. That is our problem here. If they can allow everybody vote their candidates of their choice, I think it will be better. But especially here in Lagos, it's too much.
All right.
It's too much. So please, media, people have a very big job to do. At least, like, people are complaining of this polling unit now. At least you need to investigate and find out whether it is true or not. Like I said last time, a Kotu local government are not giving non-indigenous PVC. I said it last time with that number, not be dead. I don't think something has been done concerning it.
Right. All right. Thank you very much, Julian. The gentleman who talked about his polling unit in a traditional ruler's domain. If he sends us a message via WhatsApp, then at least we can have a good lead there. And what Prince Wire said, you know, just to make clear, was that the governor of Kaduna State in the Second Republic, having won the election, unfortunately did not control the state assembly and so was impeached. Was the point he was trying to make, whether the presidential candidates had National Assembly candidates also for their parties. So, Ruthie, I think we can go on the quick break, and when we come back, we can continue with the discussion on the public square.
Yes.
That was an infomercial.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the public square.
99.3 Nigeria in for you. Welcome back to the public square. We're taking your reactions to a big story which we've been following, the release of the list of candidates for the governorship as well as state assembly, 28 states in all where elections will happen, as well as the state assembly elections where it will happen in 36 states of the country. Ruthie Sankore has been going through the analysis and great comments we are getting from you also too on WhatsApp, 08095975805. That's on WhatsApp only, and we'll get to the phone lines. We'll get to the phone lines very quickly. This is a lot of comments I'm seeing here on WhatsApp. Maybe I take quickly 3-4 of them. This is from Sir Joseph from Gowon Estate in Ebeda, and he says that if there's any way the good people of this country can talk to, Sowore and Obi Work First should merge together. Let's fight and rescue our beloved country, Nigeria, from sinking. Please, sir, Nigeria is seriously bleeding. We cannot afford to miss this single opportunity again. I see Sowore as the EFCC boss in Peter Obi's cabinet. Wrote to me. Okay. let's keep moving. And polling stations in a private location, automatically the whole process in a place like this has privatized, and he who pays the piper dictates the tune. But we're not taking it serious yet, because that should not be a vote by Mr. Ogier. Then we have they cancel the polling station in the church and major streets and move to chief's places. It happened in Satellite Town, says Raf. There we have you. Then, quickly, can you help us with the governorship candidates of each party in Ogun State? We are listening to Nigeria Info, Stephen from Ogun State. Yes, they're that's going to be
yes. I think, like I said, we don't have enough time.
No, we don't have to
go state by state.
Yeah.
But what we can do to help is Stephen, you and listeners in Ogun State, if you'd like to see the governorship candidates for Ogun State, please go to @publicsquareng or @RotimiSankore or @AhohoObo or @NigeriaInfoFM. The program handle has tweeted the link to the PDF on INEC's website. The governorship candidates for Ogun State are on page 61. So go to page 61 of that document, and you will see the Lagos State candidates are on page 61.
Yes.
The Ogun State candidates are on page 70.
Good.
And the Oyo candidates are on page 74.
Good.
That is for all the people who can listen
right.
or hear us in Lagos, Ogun, and Oyo.
Right.
Now, for the House of Assembly candidates, that's even too long. I mean, even if we had 3 hours, we won't be able to cover all that.
Mm.
But it is important for you to know which House of Assembly constituencies in which the party you would like to support have candidates. And that's the point one of the callers was making, that in the Second Republic, the People's Redemption Party candidate in Kaduna State, Balarabe Musa, won the governorship election overwhelmingly, but didn't have enough of his party members winning the House of Assembly seats. So all his, fantastic manifesto for increasing investment in education, healthcare, pensions, and so forth, we are blocked by the other parties led by the MPN. And eventually, they even managed to impeach him as governor. So that's the point the caller was making, that, the overemphasis on the executive position is a flaw in our system. And, you and I know that this flaw comes from military regimes because, right. Many of us grew up for years with government dominated by military strong men. And now when I say strong men, I mean strong men in which no women at all, no parliament, nothing. So in effect, the states were run by military dictators at the state level. And this created this fiction in the mind of people that the governor, can do and undo anything. So even when the transition came to the House of to the Second, Third, and Fourth Republic, we're in the fourth now, there is still an overemphasis on the executive position. So a lot of people who want to vote a particular candidate for president may not be looking at National Assembly candidates from that same party that may share the same views. The same thing for governor. Right. A lot of people planning to vote for governorship candidates from a particular party in a particular state may not be paying attention to House of Assembly candidates. So I would urge you, look at the House of Assembly list on the link that we have tweeted. Given that some of the smaller parties don't have enough candidates, I mean, in Lagos, for instance, some of the small parties have only 3 candidates for House of Assembly. Some have 5, some have 16. But at least if you look at the parties making wave, like APC, PDP, Labour Party in Lagos, they have candidates for all the constituency. So if a third party like Labour Party is the party you want to vote for governorship election, there's more than enough House of Assembly candidates there, for you to look at and see whether the candidates, because many people don't just vote party, they look at the character, integrity, capacity of the candidate to see whether, now for the people calling and saying that all the other parties should form a bloc, to remove APC or PDP in the states or at the national level. Well, it's an interesting proposition. But the question the callers sending or calling in with those suggestions have to ask is, form a bloc based on what? Do those parties share the same philosophy, same ideology, or are their candidates just running for ego? You have to look at a lot of these things. I know the young people especially are tired of the two big parties. But if you are voting executive, look at House of Assembly. If you are voting executive at national level, look at National Assembly. The link is up there. What we are doing here is public education. That's why we are providing the link. Not many people have time to go to where INEC has pasted it to go and read it. But this generation under the age of 35 is the online generation. So all you have to do is go to at Public Square NG, at Nigeria Info FM, at Rotimi Sankore, at Aho Obo. You will see we've tweeted the program, the INEC list. Just click on it. And if you are in Lagos, Ogun, or Oyo, again, the governorship candidates are on pages 61 for Lagos, 70 for Ogun, 74 for Oyo. The House of Assembly candidates are on page 600 for Lagos, for Ogun, 672, for Oyo, page 733. All you have to do is just scroll down and you will see the constituencies in which the House of Assembly candidates of your favorite party are featuring. So it's public education is to urge you to educate and inform yourself.
Right.
So if you want to vote, you have a better decision, better diversity on who to vote for.
All right. Excellent. And I take one or two messages quickly on WhatsApp and get back to the phone lines. Mr. Auger says, problem we face in Nigeria also comes from you, the media. Somebody complained about a polling station in the Bales compound, but you rebuffed my... Well, I didn't rebuff your message. I simply said... I simply asked, except you didn't hear me clearly. I asked the person who sent the message, if he could send us a message on WhatsApp, it would be great for us to know what particular compound he's complaining about, which would be great lead.
Yes, In fact, the guy said he will not mention the place. So yes. What is the media supposed to do?
I don't understand.
If he's not mentioning it.
You don't mention the place, how do we work with
Look, if you're a listener, you know the WhatsApp number. If you don't want to mention on air,
then
send it by WhatsApp.
Yeah, exactly.
To the station.
Yeah.
And then on that day, we can have reporters there.
Yeah.
And the reporters can report clearly to say, look, chief's place where this... the only people of a particular party or people who they think are not going to vote for a party are not being allowed in, then there will be spotlight on the place.
Exactly.
So don't blame media when you are not telling us where the place is.
Exactly.
Say where the place is, then the media will do its job.
Yeah, the media doesn't work by esoteric means. The media works with tools. Even the police investigative, work with forensic... equipment, how much more us?
Yes.
So then quickly, I think I saw a message quickly. He's posted the message over and over again. I think we can. You began listening 1 hour ago. Nwaa Falls is talking about fearful revelation of Ikenga Ugo Chinyere of some fictitious names and ages, downloaded pictures, inserted passport. All right, fantastic. Interestingly, we spoke with INEC, especially Festus Okoye, saying that the INEC, that list is an outdated list, you know, and INEC right now is cleaning up its voter register. They will publish the register, which is mandated by law for them to make public, and it will happen very soon. When that register comes out, which is what we've advised everyone, go and compare what you saw on that Ugo Chinyere's list and the one that INEC will put on its website. Then we can then come back. And interestingly, the electoral law allows us to petition anything there, and you're allowed to look at it for, I think, 7 days, if my mind serves me correctly. So there's no cause for alarm, sir. We can take one or two more calls. I think one more call before we call it a day. Hello and good evening.
Good evening. Hello.
Great to have you join us. Name, please, and where you're calling.
My name is Ambrose. Good evening, Rotimi Sankore.
Ambrose, please go ahead.
I remember also that when Peter Obi won that election, the House, Anambra House of Assembly, was also full of PDP members. Did they impeach him? So it does not follow that probably because such a thing happened in 1983, it was even 1979.
But you remember how Peter Obi was impeached, you know, right?
He was impeached by a minority. But that of the Kaduna was by majority. Now, my worry is this. We're talking about election. Election is good. But
even Rotimi made mention of something, the constitution. If we have an election today, whoever wins, it is on your radio station that the jingle from Jerry Rawlings, even if you have a devil and you have good people in the house, they will be able to force the president to do the right thing. We saw a stubborn Trump, and then we saw an institution that was powerful, and we saw how it was tamed. And we see a weak Biden, and we see the policy of America working. So I think that we need to think on our constitution.
All right. Thank you very much, and great point you make there, Ambrose. And Rotimi, we just have time for our closing thoughts.
Yes, well, he has raised interesting points, but the thing to note is that democracy is always work in progress. It is never finished, because there are people who will test the limits. There are people who want to reverse the progress. Democracy is always work in progress. It's up to you as citizens to come out and defend the democracy and improve the democracy. That's just the point.
Right. All right, so we're going to have to go now. Thank you very much, everyone who's calling on 99.3 Nigeria Info's Public Square. Until next week.
Yeah. Next week, Friday, 4 p.m., 99.3.
All right, bye-bye.